Biggie Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? Biggie Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Biggie Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. I cannot count the number of musical theater actors I know who confess that their biggest roadblock is that they get too nervous at auditions. So today, I've brought in a very respected musical theater actor and director, Barry Norton, to provide some expertise on how to deal with those butterflies in your stomach. Barry has over 35 years of combined experience as a director and actor. He's appeared throughout the Chicagoland area in such productions as Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Fiddler on the Roof, Guys and Dolls, Oklahoma, and The Pajama Game. As a director, he has helmed productions for Theater 121, Brightside Theater, Ricklepick Theater, Woodstock Musical Theater Company, Art Reach Educational Theater, Footlighters Theater, St. Fernand Theater Company, and Silhouette Players. Welcome to the show, Barry.
Thank you.
Now, when did you first get interested in musical theater?
Actually, it happened by accident. I was in my sophomore year of high school, and I had an algebra teacher who was connected with the drama department because he was also the French teacher in high school, and they happened to be doing a production of South Pacific. So what happened was they were in Tech Week dress rehearsal, so he had taken us to the auditorium because he had to be there during rehearsal period. So we were sitting in the auditorium while the cast was having their dress rehearsal. So we got a chance to watch a dress rehearsal of South Pacific. That basically, you can say, just changed my life right there.
Wow. And so you just saw it and you said, I want to be a part of that?
Yeah, I loved the energy that came off the stage. I loved seeing people working together. I can see a lot of friendship on stage or family being developed. I was going through a hard time during high school. So I think I found a niche, something to get me through.
Found a place where you were accepted.
Yes.
Yeah, good.
So I had just lost, I lost my mother. Other things in family.
Yeah.
Other things are going on. Sorry, I'm like trying, again, kind of getting choked up, but just the memories. But, you know, it just helped me get through. It helped me get through. It saved me, I could say.
Yeah, yeah. And I hear that is so true for many, many people, that it's just, it's a release, it's some place to escape from or escape to, and that it provides a sense of comfort. So what were the steps that you took to start your acting career?
Well, I saw that production, and I decided the next year, because we only do one show a year in high school, I was like, well, the next year I'm going to audition. So the next year, they were doing Hello, Dolly. So I decided, well, I want to be part of that. So I auditioned for the production of Hello, Dolly. I was up for a lead, but I didn't have that much experience, and I was kind of nervous or kind of scared. So I just kind of like, I just want to do ensemble. I had like, I was a dancer too, and I did kind of like one of your main dancers and ensemble. So I was good with that because I was just getting into all that. And that was my second year of high school.
Now, at what juncture did you decide to pursue directing work in theater?
Well, once I got all this acting stuff under my belt and graduated high school and went on to Columbia College, which is a theater school downtown, I did some community theater, and I was like, you know, watching directors do their job. And I was like, well, I'd like my chance to do this. When you go to Columbia, you have to take a variety of classes, acting classes, singing classes, voice projection, diction, directing classes, and they have different phases, directing one, directing two, directing three, you know, all your levels. And it was something that I thought I would be good at. Something I was interested in just by watching other directors.
And now you direct primarily musical theater. What is the appeal there?
Well, in high school, we basically did musicals. I grew up in the city. I didn't do much community theater. Well, I didn't do any when I was in high school. I didn't even know community theater existed. until I got into college, and then I was doing community theater plus college theater.
Right.
But a lot of the theaters around were basically doing musicals. A lot of them were not doing non-musical shows. I think in high school I did one non-musical. It's called The Lottery. And I had a small role in that, and we went to the competition, but that was the only non-musical I ever did.
Okay. And now, I cannot count the number of people that I know who get really serious nerves for musical theater auditions. They're great performers, but they shoot themselves in the foot with doubt at the auditions. Have you ever experienced that as either an actor or as an actor? Have you ever experienced that?
Experienced what? You kind of went out. I didn't.
I'm sorry. A case of nerves before you go into the audition where you shoot yourself in the foot.
Every time I go to an audition, I'm nervous. I don't care how many years you have, you're still going to get nervous at some auditions. Some maybe more than others. But my thing, as I try to tell other actors, is, you know what, confidence in yourself. Don't think of it as an audition, but think of it as a performance. So you are performing for them. You want to show them what you have and what you can offer. Everybody gets nervous.
Okay.
And I just try to look at it as a performance, not as a critique.
And that helps?
That helps me.
Okay. And now I've heard one piece of advice, and that is to prepare and then prepare some more. So you replace that nervousness with confidence, which is kind of exactly what you're saying with treating it as a performance. Is there the flip side of preparing too much where you get inside your own head?
Definitely, yes. And that could, you know, put a damper on things. If you're preparing too much, then it becomes a little robotic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can tell that sometimes when a person prepares too much. It's like, okay. Then it's like, well, let's try something else. That's basically what I will say. Let's try something else.
So you recognize that in the people who audition for you, and you kind of give them a second chance.
Yeah. I will offer, okay, let's try it this way, or let's try it another way. Because you can tell that they've rehearsed, and it's just, it's the same. I want to see if they can change, if they can offer me something else, if I can take direction. You know?
Now, as a director, I have to assume that you've seen a lot of nervous auditions. If you could talk directly to those people right now, what would your advice be?
To what people?
To the people who get those nerves, who psych themselves out of auditions. What would you say to them?
Yeah. So what happens, like, when I'm directing and I have auditions and we have those type of people who come, basically the audition, I can tell they're nervous. And, you know, they're worried, nervous. So what I would do, I let them get through the first part, let them get through their song. I was like, okay, take a big breath, let's relax. I try to relax them. I try to talk to them, kind of joke around with them, make them laugh, just get them relaxed. And then I say, okay, let's do this again. So I always offer a second chance, always, because I know everyone who's auditioning, everybody's nervous.
Yeah.
So maybe second time around, is, you know, ease up, ease their nerves, and they can have a little more fun with it. So I said, let's try it again. Let's have fun with it. Have fun with it. Don't be nervous.
Now, you went to Columbia College, where you have your degree in musical theater and directing. You studied with some very knowledgeable professors. I went to Columbia as well. And one of the professors you studied with was Sheldon Patinkin. Did he have any advice in terms of getting rid of those performance or audition nerves?
No, I never received any advice about audition nerves. It was always just be prepared.
Yeah.
Know the background. If you're auditioning for a show, know the show. Know the story, know the background. Be prepared that way. If you're going to do a song, if you're going to audition for a musical, make sure it's appropriate. You want to kind of tie your audition song in with, you know, the time period or whatever. You want to try to do that. Me auditioning for Oklahoma, I'm not going to sing a pop song because that's not going to make sense.
Right.
So he was always, you know, he was always good about that, advice on what you should be singing. Of course, be on time. Don't make a fool of yourself at auditions. People are always watching you, always.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today, I'm joined by actor and director Barry Norton. We're discussing ways to help your odds at an audition, from lowering your anxiety to tips with what makes a positive impact. Now, Barry, from your perspective, what is the minimum work that someone needs to be putting in to properly prepare for a musical theater audition?
It all depends on the person. There's no minimum. There's no maximum. I mean, can you overdo? Yes. But there's no minimum. I think if you put in the effort, you know you're going to audition. You put in the effort to for whatever you're auditioning for. Any effort's good effort. More effort is even better, but there also can be too much effort. It all depends on the individual and, I guess, their experience, their background.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now, if a movie exists of a musical theater production, should somebody who's going to audition watch the movie or not?
Well, someone who's going to audition watch the movie.
Yeah.
That's different from being in the show and watching the movie.
Very different, yes.
Yeah. So if you're going to audition for a musical or a play, and you don't know what that musical or play is about, yeah, watch it. I mean, it's not going to hurt to watch it to get the storyline. But not all movies are accurate with the script. Sometimes the movies are changed. So I would suggest maybe reading the script mm-hmm. for the show you're going to audition for, because a lot of times movies change things.
Now, as a director, do you prefer hearing auditioners do a song from the show they are auditioning for or from something different? We talked a little bit about the genre, making sure it matches the time period or the style
right.
of the show. But should it be from the show or should you avoid that?
Okay. This is just my opinion. This is me.
Mm-hmm.
When I direct a musical, I always ask for the actors to sing a song from the show. If you are interested in a character or a part in that musical, I want to see what you have to offer as far as that character goes. Or characters, if you're auditioning for, you know, more than one character in the show. I don't find that it helps me when a person comes in and sings a different song from a different show when it has nothing to do with the genre that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see a connection. Basically, I want to see a connection right away. And I want to see that that person can connect to the song or connect to the character. Singing another song from another show that has nothing to do with what I'm directing is kind of a waste of my time.
Hmm, really?
And then you know what? Sometimes people have other songs and they have performed them over and over and over several times. Then it gets kind of, okay, just kind of stale.
What you were saying earlier about seeming over-rehearsed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, I personally have found that I tend to get cast more when I sing something from a different show. And I think that has to do with sometimes directors have a preconception of how a song should sound. So if you don't sound that way in the audition, you kind of shoot yourself in the foot. But if you do a song from something else, you're avoiding those preconceptions. That's just what's worked for me. But it's interesting. I think everyone's story is different.
Right. But you know what is, when I have people audition, I ask for a song from the show. I'm not looking for a carbon copy of a Broadway album. I'm not looking for a carbon copy of a movie. I ask them for their own interpretation. I'm not looking for a carbon copy. I don't like if I want a carbon copy, I could turn on the movie or I can turn on YouTube and look at a Broadway production. I want their own interpretation, and I want them to bring me part of themselves into the character.
Has anyone come into an audition for you that is totally the wrong type for a role, and their audition just blows you away where you rethink the part?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a couple examples or one example of that?
I directed a production of Seussical and Cat in the Hat. I kind of had a visual in my head of what I wanted. But then this one guy came in. He was just full of energy. And I was like, okay, wow. I was like, this is a whole different take. And, he ended up getting the Cat in the Hat. It was total opposite of what I was looking for.
That's awesome. I love when people are open-minded and can just go with
it. And then the same thing happened when I cast Horton. Everything's of Horton is this, maybe a big guy, frumpy guy. No, my Horton ended up being this tall, like 6'2" actor who can really deliver a song, and interpretation just gave you the chills. So that was a totally opposite of what people expected. But he walked away with some rave reviews because of his acting, his singing, interpretation. It's all in the delivery. It's all in the delivery.
And is that something that can be taught, or is that just inherent to some people?
Taught to who? The director or to
the
actor?
The talent of being able to just...
But you know what? It's more like believing in yourself. If you think you can play that role and you think that you can convince someone you can play that role, then do it.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to do it.
Now, when someone's going into a musical theater audition, what should the singer consider when they select the audition song? We've talked about that it should be of the same genre. Is there anything else that should be particular when picking a song?
There are a variety of songs. I mean, this is something I think of when I'm at an audition. It's like sometimes you sit outside, you hear what's going on inside, and it's like ballad after ballad after ballad. And sometimes it's like, oh, there's too many slow songs going on. Let me sing something upbeat, and that will kind of help me, help the director.
Stand out from the pack.
Yeah. Different from the pack. Like just doing something different to be remembered.
What are some of the characteristics of a bad audition song?
People just don't take this the wrong way. people listening. being unprepared, number one. I don't like when people walk in and say, oh, I don't have anything prepared. I'm going to sing happy birthday. I do not like that. I think your song should be memorized. Shouldn't stand there and holding sheet music.
Yeah.
You need to put yourself into the story, into the song, and deliver it the best way you know how to deliver it. Being prepared is number one. Number one.
Now, some directors like casting actors who have done the role before because they know they can do it. Other directors really, really shy away from it because they want what I would say is fresh clay to work with. Do you have a preference either way?
No, I'll take it either way because my challenge is to change that actor, to deliver in another way and open his mind to see things in a different way. Sometimes, is it a struggle sometimes? Oh yeah, it's a struggle. But I sit with the actor and we discuss these things. What are your thoughts? What are my thoughts? Let's talk about the character, background of the character. And what's funny is I've done Fiddler on the Roof like 4 times. I've played Tevye. And, I have my vision of Tevye, but I did it a couple of years ago in Wheaton, the Wheaton drama. And then director Carrie Dabilo directed me and totally opened my eyes. Whole different interpretation. She had background knowledge. She did research. She sat down with the cast and we talked and she suggested different things. And it was like, okay. I see it that way now. Okay. So it opened my eyes to, you know, a different way of doing things. And I think all actors should have an open mind.
And as a actor yourself, what really stands out in that advice? I mean, how would you relate that to others?
I don't understand what you're asking.
Well, let's just go in a different direction. As someone who both acts and directs, do you ever cast yourself in your own shows?
Never.
Why not?
It's too much. I can't focus on acting and focus what's going on in the show and trying to... You can't be two places at once.
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible. Some people do it, you know, and more power to them. But then I don't think you're being fair. You're not being fair to the other actors. And you're not being fair to the actors, because if you're on stage performing, then who's watching while you're performing?
Right.
I mean, maybe you have an assistant director, but still you have that in the back of your mind, what's going on with the show, or I need to fix this, I need to fix that. Or, it's taken away from your performance, but it's also taken away from your job as a director. That's my personal opinion.
Now, as an actor, you've done Fiddler on the Roof several times.
Yes.
Is there a show that as a director you have an affinity for and like to repeatedly do?
A show that I'd like to direct?
A show that you like directing over and over again. Is there a show that stands out?
I mean, I like the classics. I would, you know, I've directed King and I a couple times. I've directed The Wiz. I've directed that a couple of times.
Interesting.
Always Patsy Cline. I'm going to be directing that for a second time.
Oh, great.
So,
where at?
Yeah.
Where is that one going to be?
Oh, that's going to be at in Wisconsin, Elkhorn, Wisconsin, Lakeland Players.
Very
neat. We're going to be doing Patsy Cline. It's been put off three times already.
Yeah, every theater is experiencing.
You know Amber Dow, right?
Yes.
She's going to be playing Patsy Cline.
Oh, wonderful.
Right, and then the woman who played my Mother Superior in Nonsense at the Opera House will be playing Louise.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, so that's something to look forward to.
And
knock on wood that we get there.
Yes, yes. You know, I have It's Showtime Theater of Huntley, and we had planned our first full season for 2020, and we're hoping it'll happen in 2021, you know.
Yes, let's. Hope those vaccinations come out and we're all good.
Yeah. Now, one thing that I've noticed is you, in addition to your acting and directing career, you also work as a teacher. And I find that a lot of people in theater who hold dual professions, who do theater in the evenings or whatnot, a lot of them are teachers. What do you think is the connection there?
You know what? I'll tell you. Well, for me, it's an outlet. It's an outlet from your day job. You're creative and you're performing in the classroom, yes. But that's all said and done. I leave teaching at work. I leave it at school. I need my own life. I need my own thing. I need to break out. Where do I have fun with that? I do theater. It's being creative, meeting new people, making new families.
And no,
it's just an outlet. And teachers at school ask me, how can you do theater after teaching all day? They're like, they don't get it. How do I have the energy? How can I do it? I was like, it's just something I love. And it's like you get on that, you know, roller coaster and it just keeps going. And my body just keeps going. It doesn't affect me.
Going back to auditions for just a moment, what are some of the mistakes that you've seen people make at an audition that you would tell others not to repeat that mistake?
Well, being prepared, that's a mistake. Kind of sometimes you get attitude. you have to watch your delivery on how you're talking, or if a director asks you something or asks you to do something, sometimes the response is kind of negative.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could even see it in your faces. You know, you get, you know, somebody rolling their eyes or, you know, taking a big breath, like, you know, getting frustrated.
Yeah.
Things like that.
You always want to present the image that you're fun to work with.
Exactly.
And have a professional attitude. Now, do you have a bucket list of shows that you would like to direct before your career is over?
Oh, do I have a bucket list?
Oh, yes, I think you do. Can you share some?
I'll just name some.
Yes.
I would love to direct Grey Gardens. I'd love to direct Sideshow. I would love to direct Evita. I'd love to direct Jesus Christ Superstar. A non-musical one I'd love to direct is Streamers, based on the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
And I'd like to direct The Odd Couple with a female cast. I think that would be a lot of fun. And then, I know a lot of them are musicals, but Mame and Gypsy. Those are some of the few I'd like to direct. All the new stuff that's coming out, you know what? It's like, a lot of them are like jukebox musicals. I'm not really interested. I want something that tells a story.
Great. Well, you've been listening to...
delve into the characters and get deeper in with the characters.
Awesome, Barry. Well, we're out of time. You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts at huntleyradio.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you and yours.